Our scripture this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. Hear the word of the Lord. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Heavenly Father, we come to continue our worship of you this morning. And we trust that you will once again speak through your word by the power of your Holy Spirit. We praise you for the gift it is to understand and know you through your word, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray through your word you would make us more and more like Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. You can be seated. There was a survey done last year by a Christian organization where many American adults were asked what they would choose as a daily necessity. They were given four choices for a daily necessity. One of the choices was something sweet. One of the choices was the Bible. One of the choices was social media. And one of the choices was coffee. Yeah, you laugh because you know what's going to happen, right? Of all those four choices, what do you think the top choice was? Coffee. 37% of Americans said coffee was their daily necessity. Second, something sweet, 28%. Third, social media at 19%. And fourth, the Bible at 16%. I wonder, where does the Bible fall onto your list of daily necessities? This morning, we're continuing our series on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have talked about who the Holy Spirit is. We've talked about the Holy Spirit causing us to be born again. We've talked about the beautiful truth that the Holy Spirit now dwells within us to empower us to live the Christian life. We've talked about the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us to serve one another, to bring glory to God. We'll continue to talk more next week about what it means to be filled and to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit on a consistent moment-by-moment basis. But for today, we're focusing in to be encouraged and reminded that the means in which we understand the Word of God is through the Holy Spirit. That part of his ministry in our lives is to help us to know what God has said, to understand it, and to apply it to our lives. This is an incredible gift that God has given us in his word, and that we can actually understand what God has said. So as I have studied this week and contemplated God's word and this beautiful truth, I have been amazed, I have been motivated, and I've been humbled by this gift. And I pray that you will be amazed and motivated and humbled in the same way. Well, let's begin by looking in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, "But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory." The secret and hidden wisdom of God. What Paul is not saying is that there is this secret wisdom that God has that is really only for a select few. You have to be really, really smart, or you have to be super extra, incredibly spiritual to figure this out. No, that is not what Paul is saying. What Paul is saying, what is the secret and hidden wisdom of God, is what Paul has been preaching during his ministry. And he says in chapter 1, verse 23, and chapter 2, verse 2, what does Paul preach? Christ and him crucified. It is at this point that God has made known the central message of what he's been moving to, is that it is possible to know God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for the forgiveness of sin. This is the secret and hidden message that was not fully understood, but now it is being understood. And how is it being understood? How is it happening? Look in verse 10. These things, this mystery of God, that you can be reconciled, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the truth of the gospel, would have remained mysterious if not for the Holy Spirit revealing the glorious truth of salvation in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. This is an incredible, beautiful, glorious reality that the Holy Spirit has revealed these truths. He's revealed them because he inspired the writers of the scriptures to write down all the things that God wanted us to know. This is why Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God. This breathing out would bring to mind the work of the Holy Spirit. Remember John 3, the Spirit blows like the wind. The Spirit breathes out the word from God to lead the authors to write it down. This is what we call the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to write down the word of God. The scriptures are not man-made. That God is the author of the scriptures. This is why Paul says in verse 6 that the wisdom he was teaching was not one of this age. The wisdom he was teaching was not human wisdom, but it's wisdom from God. So not only is the mystery now known that we can be reconciled to God, we have the Holy Spirit to help us understand this. We can understand the truth of what can happen to us through Christ. But it's not made known to everyone. Not everyone understands this message. Not everyone understands it to the point of grasping it and applying it to their life. Look in verse 8. Paul says, "None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So this hidden message, now revealed through the Spirit and made known, rulers of the age who saw Jesus and heard Jesus and watched Jesus perform miracles, they didn't understand the message of the gospel. In fact, so much so that they crucified Christ instead of following him. It is only by the Spirit that we're able to understand this glorious truth. See, this message of the gospel is not merely intellectual. It is spiritual wisdom. We'll get more into that later. But as I contemplated this glorious good news, I was freshly amazed that God has actually revealed to us what he wants us to know. That he hasn't kept us from it, but he gave it to us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us understand what God has said to us. It's possible to know God in his word through the power of his Spirit. How is it possible? Look in verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand things freely given us by God. What does this mean? It means that you did not figure out what the Bible said on your own. It means that no matter what great preaching and teaching you have sat under in your life, no matter what great Bible study you've been in, that was not the ultimate key in you understanding the Scriptures. The books you read, the classes you take, the in-depth study of the Scriptures, God uses all of that. But in the end, the reason you understand anything in the Scriptures is because the Holy Spirit helps you understand. He illuminates the Scriptures so that you understand it, and then He empowers you to apply the Scriptures. This is what the theologians call the illumination of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired the Scriptures to be written, and now He illuminates the Scriptures so that we can understand what has been written. John Murray, a theologian, defines illumination as regeneration on its noetic side. Don't you love theologians and their big words, right? Noetic. Sounds so good. You go, I don't even know what that is, right? Well, in non-big word theologian speak, here's what that means. Illumination is when the Holy Spirit helps us know what the Scriptures teach. Then the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the implications of what the Scriptures are teaching. And then finally, the Holy Spirit will empower us to apply what the Scriptures teach. That is all the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life if you're a follower of Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, we would never rightly be able to understand and apply the Scriptures. There was a story told about a high school English class that was studying a novel. It was a novel by an award-winning author. Wrote this great novel, won all these awards. And so they're reading this book in class, and the teacher assigns the book and says, we're going to read this, but here's the key. I want you, as you read it, to figure out all the deeper meanings in the novel. Okay, sounds reasonable. I'm going to try to figure this out. Then the teacher said, in particular, I want you to figure out what the rooster means. Okay, there's a rooster in the novel. You need to figure out the deeper meaning of the rooster. Okay, great. Well, what just so happens to be in the class is the son of the author. So, of course, what does the son do? He goes home and he says, hey, Dad, we're reading your book. I need some help. Can you tell me what the rooster means? And the dad chuckles. The rooster. You know what the rooster means? It means nothing. It's just a rooster. That's all it is. There's no deeper meaning to the rooster, son. Now, the son had an advantage over everyone else, searching for the deeper meaning of the rooster. What advantage did the son have? He knew the author. He could go and ask the author, explain this to me. And he got the simple explanation about the rooster. Well, we know the author of the Scriptures. We have direct access to the author of the Scriptures. In fact, if you're in Christ, He lives in you. And His ministry is to help you understand what He has written, God's Word to you. Every time you open the Scriptures, every time you study the Bible in community group, every time you're with friends and you talk about the Word of God, every time you hear the Word preached, the Holy Spirit is actively at work in your life, helping you hear from your Heavenly Father. Isn't that amazing? Every time you open the Word, you hear from the Holy Spirit, because the Word and the Spirit always work in unison together. Now, that always leads to a question I've had from many people, but can we still hear from the Holy Spirit today? Does the Holy Spirit continue to speak beyond what the written Word says? Well, I think there's a couple answers to that question. First, if what somebody means is that the Holy Spirit is giving me a new word, this is what I label the God card. God told me. And I throw that out there and then I can say whatever I want maybe. If I think the Holy Spirit's giving me a new word that goes beyond the scriptures, that does not line up with what God has already said, but it's apparently some kind of new revelation, I would say no. That is not from the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit authored this word. He illuminates this word for us. This is the authoritative word of God. The Holy Spirit will not communicate anything beyond this word. Now, if you mean, does the Holy Spirit lead me? Absolutely. Does He guide me and help me make decisions and determine what God wants for me? Yes. But not in the sense that now I have the authoritative word, but now I sense where the Holy Spirit is leading and I take a step of faith. I seek the scriptures. I understand what gifts God has given me. I get wise counsel. I use my brain to make decisions. And then I take a step of faith in a certain direction. And then you know what I also do? I trust that God's big enough to cover my mistakes. Because I'm not the authority. God and His Word is the authority. So yes, the Holy Spirit leads us, but always in unison with the Word. So if you feel led to pray for someone out of the blue, that is the Holy Spirit confirming what you've already heard in the scriptures to pray. If you feel led to share the gospel with a family or friend or coworker, that is the Holy Spirit leading you because He's already told us to share the good news of the gospel and make disciples of all nations. He told us all that we need to know in the scriptures. And now we live that out and apply it, and the Holy Spirit will apply it to our lives. So we need to be careful when we talk about the Holy Spirit speaking that it is always connected to the Word of God. We all want to hear from God. And all we need to do is read and listen to the Holy Spirit help us understand the authoritative, infallible, inerrant, and all-sufficient Word of God. And He will. Paul said He will help you understand. I hope this encourages you. I hope it encourages you that you can know God through His Word. Now, it doesn't mean that we just sit, read, and wait and just hope we hear something. No, we study. We dig in. God has created this Word in a unique way. It has different genres and has the story and there's theology in it. We can learn and study how to interpret it. We should dig in, be involved in that process. But reading the Bible, reading the Scriptures, studying the Scriptures is not primarily an intellectual exercise. Although your intellect will be challenged and sharpened. It is also not primarily an emotional exercise, although your affections will grow in love for God. No, reading the Word of God is primarily spiritual because it's to know Christ and Him crucified. This is the way John Frame says it. Hearing and learning the Scriptures are not impersonal academic tasks. They are a person-to-person interaction with God as He teaches us His personal words. Another theologian, Herman Babbitt, said, through that word, we are always led and guided, admonished and comforted, encouraged and ashamed, convinced of sin and pointed to Christ. It is the very atmosphere in which we breathe from our birth. It is the food, the drink, the air, the sunshine, the rain for our spiritual life, and all that combined together at one time. That is the beauty of the Word of God. Coffee is not our daily necessity. Coffee's good. I will have more coffee today. But it's not my daily necessity. It is to hear from the Lord by the power of His Spirit to understand what He has for me. Jesus told us this, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Are you eating this food? Drinking this drink, breathing this air, basking in the sunshine, soaking in the rain of the Scriptures to help you grow in your life of following Christ. Not just reading the Word to read the Word to check it off. Not just reading the Word so that I know more facts than someone else. But no, to hear from your Heavenly Father. He loves you. He spoke to you. You don't need an extra word from God to prove how special you are or how loved you are. You have all the words your Father knows you need and wants you to have. You just dig in. Enjoy the feast. Knowing this truth that as I read, because I'm in Christ, the Holy Spirit helps me understand it, motivates me to want to be in the Word so that my understanding of God will grow. So that my devotion to God will grow. But so that my love for God will grow. That's why I want to be in the Word. Being in the Word really is like eating. Most of us eat multiple times a day. And we do that because we know eating food helps us function in life. It helps give us energy. It helps keep us moving. But now most of us, if I asked you, what'd you have for lunch last Tuesday? Some of you may remember, but most of you go, I have no idea. I don't even remember what I ate this morning for breakfast, some of you are thinking. Right? We don't remember every meal that we have every day. But every time we eat, we know it's doing something in us to help us to live out what God has called us to do. I think in a similar way, that is what being in the Word is like. You may not every time you open the Word have this miraculous moment where you remember every detail forever. Every sermon that you ever hear preached, you may not remember it forever and ever. I take no offense at that. When I was in college, I sat under this wonderful preacher for 3 years. I remember one sermon from those 3 years. That's it. But you know what happened? As I sat under the teaching of the Word and I got in the Word myself, God changed me. He transformed me. Steady diet of the Word of God changing me. He uses all these means to help us understand the Scriptures. So keep eating. Keep drinking. Keep basking and soaking in the Word of God. And you will see over time the Holy Spirit helping you to know God, to be devoted to God, and to love God, and your life will be transformed to look more and more into the image of Christ. If you don't know where to begin, how to do this, there are lots of people here that can help you. Every elder would love nothing more than to sit down with you and help you understand what God has written to you. To help you learn how to read it and study it and handle it rightly. All the community group leaders would love to have you so that they could help you understand and rightly handle the Word of God. If you are not daily and consistently in the Word, don't do it because we're just telling you. Have to do it because it's a way to know God. To experience His love, His Word to you. Maybe start with the book of Luke. We'll study that later in this year. Start reading a chapter a day and just let the Word soak you, wash over you, and watch what God does through His Spirit. Maybe also you could pick up Psalm 119, a really long chapter, all about the glory of the Word of God, and just read it and let God move your heart with love for Him and His Word. It is the means in which we understand who God is and how much He loves us. Through Christ crucified. There's also a warning in here, in verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone where you're talking about spiritual things and you get the moment when you get to tell them about Christ and you get to share the gospel and God moves through you and you're just thinking, wow, I think I actually communicated this correctly. I think I honored God in this and included all the parts of the gospel that need to be known. And I communicated it so well and I think I was pretty eloquent. And I used a couple great illustrations and yet they didn't trust Christ. Why? But God, why didn't they believe? It's so clear. It's so obvious that they need forgiveness of sins, but yet they didn't respond. My tendency is to dig back in and find better arguments. I just need better arguments. I need better illustrations. I need better ways to say this. And all those are helpful. But what does Paul say the problem is? They can't understand it if they're not in Christ because they're spiritually dead. They're not able to understand the hidden mystery of Christ and Him crucified until God begins to open their eyes. It is a work of God to save them. It is a work of God to help them understand. It's not up to me. Because the natural person, the non-Christian, does not have the Holy Spirit, they will not understand. It doesn't mean they won't understand the claims of the gospel. They can understand the story of the gospel and what the Bible says happened, but they will reject it as truth. They will turn away from it. And what does Paul say? They will think it's foolishness. They'll think it's folly. This was all of us, wasn't it, before we trusted Christ? This was all of us. Now, many of us never outrightly maybe said that this gospel is foolishness. I never said that directly. But by the mere fact that I rejected God's free offer of salvation for my sin, my rebellion against Him, and new life in Christ, by the fact that I rejected that, I basically was calling God a fool. I don't need that. I'm good. I'm good enough. It was a hidden mystery to me. The Holy Spirit at that time had not begun to reveal it to me. All of us before Christ were blind to the things of God without any hope of forgiveness and salvation. And we were justly under the condemnation and wrath of God, with no hope to understand what God has communicated to us. So how is it possible? How is it possible? Because of God's good work in each of our lives. In chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, starting in 27, this is what Paul reminds us happened to each of us. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. If you are in Christ, it is because God saved you through the work of His Holy Spirit making you born again. And if you are in Christ, now it is because of the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life to help you understand what God has done for you. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we would be lost in our sins, not able to understand anything from God. But the Holy Spirit moved. He drew you to Himself. He opened your eyes, and now you know God's love for you and what God wants for you through the Word. So much so then, look at the last phrase Paul uses. This reality has impacted us so much. What does he say? But we have the mind of Christ. Lost and dead in sin, and now we have the mind of Christ. Now, this does not mean that we know everything that Christ knows. Jesus is God Himself. We will never know all that He knows. We are finite, created. He's the Creator. So that is not what Paul is saying, is we can be as smart as Jesus. No. But what he's saying is we can have the same mind. We can think like Christ. And how did Christ think? He came to sacrifice Himself for the good of others, to save others. Jesus did not boast in Himself, but He gave His life up for others. See, this is the problem that's happening in Corinth. One of the problems is that they are falling back into human wisdom. In chapter 3, as you read on later, you'll see that they're claiming who they follow as most important. I follow this guy and I follow this guy. That's all human wisdom. That's all wisdom of this age. It's who I follow, is the wisdom I have. That's how important I am, because I know these things by this guy. You know what Paul says to that? Chapter 3, verse 7. Neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. So when Paul says we have the mind of Christ, he's not just thinking about what Christ knew. He's thinking about how Christ lived. And we learn that from other passages in Scripture where Peter uses the phrase, arm yourselves in the same way of thinking like Christ. to suffer for doing good. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. What does that look like? Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Having the mind of Christ is to live like Christ as a servant, humbly seeking to care for others and lift others up and make disciples of every tribe, tongue, and nation. Christ made himself nothing, taking the form of the servant. So having the mind of Christ, we remember who we were before we became followers of Christ. We remember how we became followers of Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. And now we're reminded that everything we understand about God is through the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And all of that together humbles us. It's not about everything I know. It's about Christ and him crucified. I am humbled and I seek to take everything that I've understood that God has given me as a gift and give it away to others. Not to domineer over them, not to win arguments with them, but to help them see the glory of the gospel. Praying the whole time that God would open their eyes like he opened mine. That he would soften their heart like he softened mine. And they would one day see, through the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit, the glory of the gospel and all that God has told them. This is such a gift that we can hear from God. The word always, always has an effect. Again, Herman Bavinck said, never is it an empty sound, a dead letter, a meaningless phrase. It is always living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It is always a hammer that smashes the hard heart of the sinner, the sword of the Spirit that strikes a deadly blow to the proud and self-righteous, a testimony of God that shakes the conscience awake, the seed of regeneration, the power unto sanctification. It is always profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That is the gift that we have in the Word of God, illumined by the Holy Spirit for those of us who are in Christ. Would we be a people that eat and drink and bask in the very words of God? Heavenly Father, we praise you for your gift of the Holy Spirit. We praise you for your gift of your word, and that your Spirit always works in unison to reveal and help us understand what you have said to us. The mystery hidden is now revealed, that we can be reconciled to you through Christ. We praise you for opening our eyes and softening our hearts, for saving us and teaching us everything we need to know in your word. Help us be men, women, and children of the word, that we would be amazed at the gift, that we would be motivated to be in the Word, and that we would be humbled, knowing that everything we know is from you. We pray in the end that you would receive all the glory in our lives. And it's through Christ we pray. Amen.